Has God ever spoken to you? If so, how did he speak to you? Was it through the Bible, a conversation with another person, a dream, a set of circumstances, a strong inner impression on your spirit? What did God say to you? Was it a message of comfort, challenge, guidance, insight? What effect did it have on you? Did you then go and do something that you would not have otherwise done? Did it change you in some way? Well, those are some of the questions that we've been thinking about in this message series I'm calling Does God Still Speak Today? And last week we saw that the Bible clearly demonstrates that God does speak. In fact, the question should never be whether God still speaks, but rather if you and I have ears to hear what God is saying. That's the real issue. God desires a relationship with you and me because he is a personal and relational being. God loves to communicate with us. Well, we also touched on the question last week, how does God speak? And I want to return to that question and its answer this morning. One conclusion that we reached is that the Bible itself demonstrates that God speaks to us in many, many, many different ways. And I want to look at two Bible passages just now that underline that fact. The first one is the story of an early Christian leader named Philip, who God used in a remarkable way in the life of a stranger, a governmental official from the country of Ethiopia. And as we read the story, I want you to observe the different ways that God speaks in that situation. So if you would, open your Bible or use your phone or your tablet or whatever you have the Bible on. And let's turn to Acts chapter 8. And I want to read verses 26 through 35 in that chapter. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Here's what the Bible says. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he explained, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Now, just in that one story, 10 verses or whatever, you can observe several different ways that God speaks. First of all, God speaks to Philip through an angel. God speaks to Philip through the Holy Spirit, or you might call it an inner leading or prompting of the Spirit. Third, God speaks to the Ethiopian through the Bible, specifically Isaiah 53. And then fourth, God speaks to the Ethiopian through a human being. In other words, through Philip's explanation of how Isaiah 53 points to Jesus. Well, let's look at yet another story in just the next chapter, Acts chapter 9. It gives an account there of how Saul, who went on to become the great Christian leader and apostle. He changed his name to Paul. How Saul, or Paul, met Jesus and became his follower. So look with me at Acts chapter 9. I'm beginning at the first verse, and I'm reading through verse 19. Again, observe the different ways that God speaks to people. Verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and he heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained his strength. Well, there again, we see, first of all, God speaking to Saul through a miraculous encounter with intense light. And secondly, in an audible voice. Third, we see God speak through visions, one to Ananias about Saul and another to Saul about Ananias. And then fourthly, we see that God speaks into the life of Saul through his human instrument, Ananias. So then, how does God speak to you and me today? Let's just kind of unpack that for the rest of our time together. I would suggest to you that, first of all, God speaks through one objective voice. One objective voice. Now, what do I mean by objective here? Well, this way of God speaking to you has its own independent existence or authority. It's outside of you. Other people can look at this same message from God and receive it as God's message for them as well. And there's really only one voice that fits that kind of description. And of course, that's the Bible. The Bible. The Bible is the unique, it is the written voice of God into your life and into mine. And you can be utterly confident that the Bible gives you all the information that you need to know about how to begin and then how to grow in your eternal relationship with God. Here's what God himself says about his own word. I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. The words that come out of my mouth do not come back empty-handed. They'll do the work I sent them to do. They'll complete the assignment I gave them. Over in the New Testament, we read this about the Bible. All scripture is inspired by God. It's God-breathed and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Second, I want to suggest to you that the Bible is the authoritative voice of God. Meaning what? Meaning that there is something final and absolute about the Bible. Every other message that you think that you've received from God, or that other people may think they have received from God, has to be measured by the standard of the Bible itself. If it falls short of what the Bible says, you can be quite sure that it wasn't God who spoke to you after all, because God doesn't contradict himself. Sadly, you know, there are people who will tell you in so many words, for example, that they felt led by the Holy Spirit to commit adultery, when the Bible teaches absolute faithfulness in marriage. Other people try to justify telling a lie or being irresponsible with money or engaging in gossip when the Bible clearly condemns such behavior. You can be quite sure that when you're tempted to go against a general principle that you find in the Bible or specific instruction that is written down there, it's not the voice of God speaking into your life. The Bible is the final, the absolute, the authoritative voice of God into your life and mine. But how does the Bible actually become the voice of God in your life and mine? My friends, you probably already discovered it doesn't happen just by reading the words on the page. It's more than just downloading it as an app onto your phone or your tablet and physically carrying it around with you everywhere. That's good, but that's not what it means to hear the voice of God. No, the Bible's voice must be applied to be truly heard. The most predictable way for God to speak to you is to read and then apply God's word to your life. When you read what it says, and even more, when you do what it says, you increase the odds dramatically that you're actually hearing from God. That's when it's more likely that the Bible will become, as the psalmist says, a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The Bible has this power to speak directly into your heart and mind. And by the Holy Spirit, God takes his written word, his written voice, and he applies it to your life and the specific circumstances of your life and of mine. And there are times when God will take a Bible passage and just almost knock you over the head with it. He'll just make it come alive to you. It becomes the voice of God to you specifically at that moment for that issue. When Martin Luther, the great reformer back in the 1500s, was trying to figure out how a holy God could forgive a miserable sinner like himself, it was Romans 1:17 that gripped his heart. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And when Luther saw that verse, it just changed his life down to the core of his being. It became the voice of God to him. A man by the name of George Mueller got a burden for all the homeless kids in his city of Bristol, England, in the late 1800s. And he wanted to build an orphanage for them. He didn't know how to do that. He didn't know how to raise the money for that. And God impressed Psalm 81:10 upon George Mueller. I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. And Mueller took that as a word from God, and it began an incredible story of supernatural supply for the needs of Mueller's orphanage and ministry. My nephew is serving in Afghanistan as an Air Force physician. And of course, my sister and brother-in-law were understandably anxious when he was first deployed. But they told us recently that God impressed Psalm 118:17 upon them. What does that scripture say? I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. It's the voice of God into their lives. And that verse has given them victory over fear and anxiety for their son's safety. Well, what kind of a need or what kind of an issue are you facing in your life today? It is likely that God will speak to you directly through a verse in the Bible. If you struggle, for instance, with a sense of shame for sins that you've committed and you're finding it difficult today to believe that God can forgive you, how about this verse? So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Are there times when fear or anxiety grips your spirit for some reason? How about meditating on this verse? Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. What a promise. Each and every one of us here is going to go through trials and difficulties and hard places along life's journey. Here is a wonderful promise to take with you. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. Many of you here today are involved in ministry to others, either in this church or perhaps even outside of this church. Have you learned yet that ministry can stretch you? Amen? And sometimes you wonder if your efforts are making any kind of a difference for anybody. How about marinating in this verse for a while? So my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work how? Enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Wow. And again, it's in applying the Word of God to your life directly that you're going to hear God speak to you at a very intimate and a very powerful level. In other words, to hear God's voice requires your effort and discipline. The best way to hear God speak to you is to spend regular time reading, studying, meditating on His Word. There God begins to speak to you in clear, understandable language. It means more than just, you know, reading one little verse quickly and then getting on with your day. No, stop. Invite God to explain His Word to you. Spend some time on it and in it. Stay with that Bible passage until the Holy Spirit begins to enlighten your understanding to its meaning and how it applies to your circumstances. If applying God's Word to your life doesn't demand something of you, my friend, it's probably not going to ever be very helpful to you. To hear God's voice requires your submission as well. The Bible, folks, isn't just this collection of helpful insights that you get to pick and choose from to motivate you to live a successful life, kind of the Christian version of a horoscope. It's not what the Bible is. Develop the habit of reading it with a submissive attitude, with an attitude of complete surrender. And when you do that, God's life and power will start to be released into your life. My friend, when you disobey God's word, you block the blessing that He wants to give you. And when you obey God's word, you invite His blessing upon and into your life. And I believe that the promise that God spoke to Israel is one that you and I can also claim. Now listen, this is Moses talking, voice of God speaking to him. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep His commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in His ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you. Well, it's also just as true that God speaks to you and me through many subjective voices. Many subjective voices. How am I using that word subjective here? Well, in this context, I mean ways that God might speak to you that are very personal, very unique. They aren't intended necessarily for anybody else but you. They really can't be verified or authenticated by other people, and yet they're very real. And I want to point out several major voices, but by no means, folks, am I trying to be exhaustive here. This is just some of the more major ones, perhaps, that we find in God's Word. The first one is creation or nature. How many of you love just to be out in the woods or on the beach? Yeah. Why is that? Well, I think it's because we sense the voice of God being in nature. You can see something of God's majesty and power in what He's made at the beach or up in the mountains. You can see something of His love for beauty, viewing a sunset or looking up at the night sky with all the stars. The Old Testament says, "The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display His craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak." Interesting. "Night after night, they make Him known." Over in the New Testament, we read this, "For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature." Now, maybe it's never happened to you, but the Bible is full of stories of how God speaks to people in dreams and visions. Dreams and visions. God directed Joseph, Jesus' stepfather, through dreams on three specific occasions at very critical moments. The first time was to encourage Joseph to abandon his plan to divorce Mary. The second time was to instruct him to take Mary and the newborn Jesus to Egypt to escape murderous King Herod. The third time was to return from Egypt to Nazareth. Does God still speak through dreams today? You know, I was fascinated to read that between 1991 and 2007, Fuller Theological Seminary's School of Intercultural Studies conducted a survey among 750 Muslims who had converted to Christianity. And those surveyed represented 50 ethnic groups from 30 different countries. And one of the 9 most cited reasons for Muslims converting to the Christian faith was God speaking to them through dreams and visions. Interesting. Now, the Bible isn't very precise in telling us the difference between a dream and a vision. I suppose you could say that that when God chooses to speak to you when you're asleep, that's a dream. And while a vision might occur when you're awake. In Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah had an incredible vision of God Himself up in the throne room of heaven, changed his life, changed his ministry. In Acts chapter 10, we read a story of how Peter, the disciple of Jesus, one of the great leaders among the first Christians, had this powerful vision that led to an opportunity to share the good news of Jesus with non-Jewish people, something that had really never been done before, hadn't occurred to anybody to do that. Do you have to sort of go into a trance-like state for God to speak to you in a vision? I don't know if that's required, perhaps. But I also think that God can speak to you and me through what you might call visual imagery. Maybe that's a little bit like a vision. I remember someone telling me that when he was a kid, he stole a baseball glove from a friend. And every time he was in church, every time he tried to pray, every time he tried to connect with God in any way, all he could see was that baseball glove. That visual image just came to dominate his heart anytime he tried to get close to God. And that continued until he confessed his sin and made it right. Or I would imagine this has happened to you. Maybe God keeps bringing a particular person to your mind, not just their name, but the visual image of that person. Could God be trying to speak to you about that person, to pray for that person, or to reach out to that person in some way? Probably. Probably. Here's another way God speaks. God speaks through signs and wonders. When the Second Gulf War began, the U.S. military started by bombing Baghdad, and they called it shock and awe. Well, God is more than capable of his own shock and awe. And in the Old Testament, for instance, God appeared and spoke to his people from Mount Sinai. On the morning of the third day, thunder roared and lightning flashed and a dense cloud came down on the mountain. There was a long, loud blast from a ram's horn and all the people trembled. Jesus' miracles fall into this category. They tell us important truths about God. Like what? Well, it tells us that God has absolute power over nature, over illness, over supernatural evil when Jesus would expel demons, over death itself. The miracles of Jesus tell us that God is full of compassion, that God's kingdom has arrived in the ministry of Jesus. Here's what the Bible says about that. The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. And God is still fully capable of speaking through miracles today. God speaks through angels. They're very prominent in the story of Jesus' birth. Angels appear to both Mary and Joseph as well as to the shepherds. There seems to be an intersection between heaven and earth through the coming of Jesus, and angels are frequently found along that intersection. And there are numerous stories today about the people who believe that they've been spoken to by angels. Many of the stories are believable. I remember something that happened early in my ministry at another church, little mission church over in Powell. And I remember one Sunday morning, two people just showed up at that church. And folks, their faces shone. That's all I can tell you. Their faces shone. And we never saw them again after that Sunday, but they put in a $3,000 check that morning into the offering. We never knew where they came from. They never came again. And I've always wondered if there was some kind of an angelic visitation, this struggling little congregation trying to stay afloat, and God just blessed us that morning. I don't know for sure, but those kinds of things can happen. We also have to be discerning, though. The Bible tells us that Satan is himself an angelic being, and the Bible tells us that he can disguise himself as an angel of light and tries to deceive people. So any angelic message has to be measured against what? Against the Bible, God's one and only objective voice. God speaks through other people, particularly his own people. One example in the Old Testament were, of course, all the prophets. We read this verse there. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. In the New Testament, it seems that the emphasis shifts to how God speaks now through the church, the gathering of God's people. And because the Holy Spirit now indwells every believer, God can speak into your life and my life through any believer, regardless of age, education, gender, even spiritual maturity. But it's also true that he speaks most often and most clearly through those who have walked with him most faithfully over the years. And by the way, don't limit yourself to hearing God speak through just one fellow believer. There's wisdom in being open to how God might speak through many of his people who walk with God. The Bible says, for lack of guidance, a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. pastor and author Gordon MacDonald tells about a time when he was in Japan on a speaking tour with a close personal friend. And they were, this friend of Gordon's was a few years older than him. And as they were walking down the street in Yokohama, Japan, the name of a common friend came up. And Gordon said something unkind about this person. It was sarcastic, it was cynical, it was a put down. And that older friend of Gordon stopped. He turned and he got right up in Gordon's face. And he said, "A man who says that he loves God would not talk that way about his friend." And if you had put a knife into Gordon MacDonald's ribs, the pain would not have been any less. But Gordon says that there have been many times in his life since that uncomfortable rebuke, that he's been saved from making a jerk of himself when he's tempted to say something unkind about a Christian brother or sister. He still hears his friend's voice say, "Gordon, a man who says he loves God would not speak in such a way about a friend." Folks, I can tell you from personal experience that God has saved me from many mistakes because at strategic and critical times, He sent godly people into my life with a message from Him. And then finally, let me just mention this, that God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through the circumstances in our lives. And folks, this takes many forms, a job offer or a job loss. A marriage proposal, a divorce, a promotion, a natural disaster, a sudden death, a car accident, an unexpected gift, a serious illness, a failure of some kind, a success of some kind. And the key is not the circumstance itself, but what God wants to tell you about Himself or about you or about life itself through that event. I'm not referring to every last circumstance in life, but those special kinds of occurrences that become kind of a platform or a medium by which God wants to send a message into your life and mine. And if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, you've probably had a discussion with somebody about what we sometimes refer to as open and closed doors. Open and closed doors. Now, where did that come from? Well, it might go back to something that Paul wrote about his ministry in Ephesus in one of his New Testament letters. He writes there is a wide open door for a great work here, although many oppose me. In the book of Revelation is this verse. There is to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, "These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens... no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open." Open and closed doors. It's an image that refers to discerning the will of God by observing what circumstances, what doors God opens and closes in our lives. If God opens the door to a new job, that's because it might well be God's will for you. If God closes the door to move to Tahiti and live on the beach full time, gives you an insight how I pray, it may not be God's will for you. Hearing God speak through your circumstances, that's not foolproof, however. It can be confusing. Not every open door is necessarily God's will. By the same token, some closed doors, it almost seems like they are thwarting God's plans for you, and you might come to understand why only many years after that event. All of life's circumstances have to be looked at through the lens of the Bible. Think of the Bible as a pair of glasses or a pair of contact lens. You have to look at all of life through the lens of the Bible, the principles that you find there, the truths that you find there. And as you walk through those circumstances, my friend, focus on Jesus rather than the circumstances. Don't allow any circumstance, I don't care what it is, to make you question God's love for you. especially the hard stuff, the painful stuff that comes your way and mine. Don't try to figure God out based on those circumstances. Instead, go to God and ask Him to help you see that circumstance from His perspective. And be willing then to wait on the Holy Spirit when you don't understand what God is trying to say in your circumstances. Be patient. Trust God at all times. And when He does make that message clear to you, then, my friend, adjust your life to God. And by all means, do whatever He wants you to do. Well, I know it's probably hard for you to believe, but not too long ago, the most effective form of long-distance communication was the telegraph. The telegraph. And there's a story about a young man who was applying for a job as a Morse code operator. So he turned up at this place of employment. He walked in. It was a noisy, busy office. And at the receptionist's desk was a little sign, and it said, please take a form, fill it out, and then wait for an interview. So he took this piece of paper. He sat down next to seven other men who were also applying for the same job. And he filled out the form, and he sat there for a few minutes. And then all of a sudden, he got up. He walked across the room to a door going into an inner office. He walked into the door, into the room, and shut it behind him. And the other seven guys that were there for applying for the job, they began to look at each other. And they wondered why this young man could be so bold. And what did he know that they didn't know? Well, after several minutes, this young man came back outside with into the larger area, along with the man who had interviewed him. And this man who had interviewed him came up to this group of seven men, and he said, thank you for coming, but this young man has just been given the job. And these seven men were a little bit irritated by this news. And one of them said, well, this isn't fair. We got here before this other man got here, and we didn't even get the courtesy of an interview. And the employer said, the whole time that you've been sitting here, the telegraph in our office has been tapping out this message. If you can understand this message, please come on in. The job is yours. If you can understand this message, please come in. The job is yours. If you can understand this message, please come in. The job is yours. Apparently, you didn't hear and you didn't understand the message. This young man did. It's his job. God is speaking into your life and mine all of the time. That's not the question. The question is, are you listening? Do you want to do what He says? Do you have ears to hear what the Lord is saying to you? Last week, I introduced you to a little poem, a part of a hymn that was written by James Drummond Burns. It refers to the story that we talked about last week, the story of Samuel, who as a young boy heard the voice of God for the first time. And when he finally was able to figure out, because of the older man Eli's instruction, he just simply said, speak, Lord, because your servant is listening. And what I'd like us to do again, just kind of as the response of our own heart today, is just to offer that up to the Lord as a personal prayer of response, that we would have the kind of heart and mind that would listen to the voice of God, and not only to hear what He says, but to do what He says. So would you offer that up to the Lord as a prayer along with me? Oh, give me Samuel's ear, an open ear, O Lord, alive and quick to hear each whisper of thy word, like him to answer to thy call and to obey thee first of all. Father God, may that be not only the prayer of our hearts, may it be something that we do this afternoon and on Tuesday morning and on Wednesday night and Friday afternoon, that when we hear you speak into our lives, we'll be quick to obey. We'll say, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. And then, Father, give us the grace and the power by your Spirit to do what you're speaking into our lives to do. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to live life with you. We thank you for the many, many ways that you seek to communicate to us. Lord God, give us ears to hear what you're saying, and above all, to do what you instruct us to do. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things. Amen.